Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 428th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Game Time. Snag the tickets without the stress. Use promo code SGPN on your first purchase to save $20. Download the Game Time app and use promo code SGPN. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog has just added Pick'em Scorchers, where you can win 100 times your entry. That's right, turn $5 into $500 in just one game. Plus, every Sunday, they're giving away $100,000. Use promo code SGPN at Underdog Fantasy for a 100% deposit bonus of up to $500. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 428 is going out to Jose Daniel Medina, just because he has it, whatever it is. Thank you for coming to the show. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. The UFC is back, baby, after a week off. So we've got a UFC fight night to break down for you today, the prelim portion of it. And we'll probably recap the Jose Daniel Medina show that went down last night as well. What the heck, right? All that and more will be rammed in your ear holes over the next 20 to 30 minutes. So buckle up. I'm not here alone. Of course, I have the Jose Daniel Medina whisperer himself, Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
He's so bad. I know.
He's so bad. He looked so bad. He fought so bad. Yeah.
If you have a fight in the UFC, not in the UFC, in contender series or anywhere for that matter, and the first critique is like, I think he might be good if he went down two weight classes. classes. He's chunky in a division where you don't need to be chunky. You know, that's also a bad sign. He talked about being a full-time vet. I imagine that is not changing based on his performance and in the typical pay structure coming off a contender series. It's just such a weird move, and maybe it's because they had only four fights and he had a quota to reach, but man, Medina just seems like, and I said it before we started taping, he is most definitely the worst dude they've signed off a contender series.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, what did you show in the fight?
That he's got a hard head. Got a hard head.
Yep. He didn't get knocked out. That's what he showed. He got thoroughly outclassed. He looked the way you expected him to look heading into the fight. Yeah. Like looking at the makeup of two men, you're like, okay, this is how that fight's going to go. And that's how it went. He got destroyed the whole fight. So yeah,
he also looked slow, right? Like he's a big fat guy and you were like, oh, yep. I bet you that guy's slow. And then he was slow. It wasn't like, it was like, oh wow. He really, really figured it out there. Listen, I just want to share with you these stats because they're appalling. In that fight, significant strikes, he was outstruck 73-24. The dude fought for 5 minutes and he landed 24 strikes total.
Yep.
He went 20-81 to the head. That means he landed a quarter of the things he threw to the head. And it was only so 20 great. Punches. It wasn't even good.
And he was a plus 520 underdog, too. So it's not like we're going to make money off of him going forward because the books are onto him. So it's not like whoever he fights in the UFC, we're going to get a favorable line. The only positive is he is a Samurai Fight House veteran. He fought he fought an 11-22 fighter in Samurai Fight House two fights ago. So
yeah, that's fantastic.
Or two wins ago, sorry.
Yeah. So I was trying to think of middleweights that, like, okay, maybe against that middleweight he serves some sort of chance, right? But if you go to the bottom of middleweight, like, you remember Val Woodburn? That's probably the worst guy in the UFC.
The Gardner.
Yeah, that's right.
He's versus the Gardner.
And he fought Bo Nickel and looked bad against Bo Nickel, but, like, even he would wreck him, right? Like, if he goes down to middleweight, Medina's not beating Val Woodburn. You know, like, yeah. He's not beating, you know, Chris Leroy. Like, Cesar Almeida got signed off of this season, the Contender Series, for middleweight. He's 80 times the fighter Medina is. So, like, man, I just don't know what they're looking to do with this guy other than turn him into somebody's punching bag.
And guess what? He doesn't fight at middleweight. He's a light heavyweight. He had a chance to get into shape for this big shot that he was given, and he still was a light heavyweight. So, yeah.
Although maybe his move is staying up there. There are probably worse guys up there. But even, like,
oh yeah,
man, I'm even thinking of, like, the worst light heavyweights, right? Like, the Pleasure Man went 0-3 in the UFC. And to my knowledge, yep, he's still not fired. He'd be a negative 500 favorite, right? Like
yeah. Probably
he'd be a massive favorite, and he would definitely win.
Yep. Interesting. Well, not interesting. Fun. All right. The positives from last night, Gumby. Do you have positives that you took in from last night's show?
Yeah, more fighting nerds. Fighting nerds.
That came through.
And if you, I know when we talked on the show, Ruffy was. It's Rufy, were they saying? Were they saying Rufy?
Yeah, they were saying that, yeah. But if he's Brazilian, shouldn't it be Hoofy?
It should at least be Hoofy, if not Huffy.
Yeah.
But regardless, yeah. I'll go with what they were saying. Rufy, if you waited, I know when we talked about it on the show on Sunday, he was plus 135, and I love that number. If you waited, he got to, I saw him at plus 195. So, like, if you waited a little bit, there was a lot of money on the return on him, and it wound up being, I wouldn't say a great performance out of him. The third round looked like what I expected him to do in all of the rounds, but he looked good.
Yep, that is true. We lost a fight, so we ended up with only four fights. Gumby went 2-2. The resume picks came through again, 3-1, including a plus 270 dog I hit in the main event.
Yeah, Bellotto, he fixed all of the problems that he had in the Vitor Petrino fight, right? Like, my biggest concern was that, like, and I even said it on Sunday, Talha tires and doesn't look good in the late rounds, but Bellotto historically had done the same thing. And then also we find out on the broadcast, which I don't know if I didn't do enough research or what, that Talha is 7 months off of a torn ACL. That probably changes the calculus a little bit. And I'll also just give it up to Bellotto. Like, he really fixed the cardio issue that he had in prior fights. And he looked good in there. So shout out to him. He might be an interesting guy. Like, I would say him and Rufy are probably the most interesting dudes to come off that episode.
Yep. Yeah. Interesting stuff. One more week to go. And then it turned into a slog. The slog of Dana White's Contender Series 2023 will be done. But we'll forget about that, and we'll be looking forward to it again the next season soon enough, because that's the way it works around here. Anything exciting coming up in week 10, or anyone exciting coming up week 10?
Well, we're going to get to see that Davi Black fight after all. So it looks like they just rebooked that fight up a weight class. I don't know if that's going to change how I handicap it, because, you know, you already had one guy with some issues in terms of weight cutting. Now he's going to have to do another weight cut, but maybe not down as far. I don't know what that fight looks like with people a little heavier. So that's a real weird one. And then outside of that, you know, like, one of the people who I was looking forward to fighting has dropped out, which kind of sucks. But a guy who I interviewed who is on the show, three guys I interviewed are on the show. Cortavious Romeus, Connor Matthews, Therese Finney. So I'm excited to see all of them fight.
Oh, there you go. So that is next week. This week we have UFC Fight Night, Dawson versus Green, the headline fight that we didn't know we needed, but we're getting it. Or maybe we don't need it, but we're going to get it regardless. So we will break down all of that in a quick sec, but for actually just the prelims, not all of it. First, I got to tell you about Game Time, because you're going to win lots of money thanks to us, and then you can go buy some tickets to your favorite event from Game Time. You can even wait last minute if you like and not be stressed out about it, because Game Time has your tickets at the best price last minute for whatever you're looking for, because Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more, aka MMA. Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And our friends at Hall of Fame Bets help you win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, we did the research for this coming Saturday's UFC Fight Night, and now we're going to give you all the research we did. Sure. UFC Fight Night, Dawson versus Green, aka UFC Vegas 80. This Saturday, October the 7th, UFC Apex. We are doing the prelims first. They start at 4 p.m. Eastern, and they are on ESPN+. We've got a 6-fight prelim card and a 5-fight main card. Prelims, we shall kick things off with a women's flyweight bout. Montana De La Rosa versus J.J. Aldrich. And I will tell you about Aldrich first. She is 12-6 with 3 knockouts. She's been knocked out once, submitted twice, 8-5 in the UFC. 1-2 over her last 3 and 4-2 over her last 6. She did win her last fight via TKO. And she's taking this fight on short notice. Our short notice stats are what they have always been. They have not really changed at all. Short notice fighters are winning 37% of the time historically, or at least since I started tracking about 3 years ago. This year, they're a bit better. They're at 45%. So they're doing a little bit better that way. All right, back to Aldridge. Used to fight at 125 pounds, so flyweight. 3-1 in Invicta. Better striking and more active landing strikes than De La Rosa. However, she has been outstruck over her UFC career by 0.52 strikes a minute, and she's at plus 120. Monty De La Rosa, 12-8-1, 1 knockout, 8 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted twice, 5-4-1 in the UFC. She's lost 2 straight fights, and she's only won 1 of her last 5. She's gone 1-3-1 over her last 5. Lost her last fight via submission, has not won since June of 2021. 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, used to fight up at flyweight as well. She has missed weight, so keep an eye on that. Was regional champion, 2 inches taller, 1 inch of reach over Aldridge, 3 years younger, better grappling stats. And she also has been outstruck by her opponents, pretty much the same rate that Aldridge has. She's at minus 0.59 strikes per minute, and she's at minus 130. And we kick things over to Gumby.
I'm actually going to start underdog here. I'm going to go with JJ Aldridge. When she got noticed announced as the replacement fighter for De La Rosa, I was like, oh, that might be a slightly better matchup for De La Rosa than Stephanie Egger, who is the original opponent, was. But then I got to thinking, and Aldrich has historically had a pretty easy time with people who are grapple heavy. Because she's got, pretty decent takedown defense. She's hard to hold down. And in addition to all of that, she outstrikes grapplers really easy. I mean, just look at her last four victories. And granted, I am discounting two losses in the middle of these, but like, look at her last four victories. Na Liang, grappler extraordinaire, right? Like, that's all she does. Jillian Robertson, that's all she does is grapple. Vanessa Demopoulos, you know, heavy grappler. Courtney Casey, you know, basically a wrestler who boxes a little bit. So like, she's done really well against grapplers. And even if you go back and you watch that fight with Erin Blanchfield, I think people forget she won the first round against Erin Blanchfield and then was like stuffing takedowns and forcing her to strike before she got caught in a standing guillotine choke. Blanchfield never actually got her down. So like, the fact that she kept Blanchfield on the feet long enough and she, you know, got back up against all of those other fighters enough to win these fights, I think it gives her a lot of hope here against De La Rosa. So I'm going to go with Aldrich here.
I have changed my pick. As I was reading the resumes, I changed my mind. Yeah, I'm going Aldridge as well. I'm not worrying about the short notice aspect on this as much. And you laid it out pretty good. Just look at her last, what, four wins. De La Rosa fits right in, basically, the level of fighter and the type of fighter as those fighters there. So, yeah, I will go with Aldridge, too. I can see her winning the fight here, so.
And I will go, also, dog, right off the gate. I'll also just add this too, to your point, you know, because we talked a lot about Aldrich's resume in there too. If you're looking at the type of people that beat De La Rosa, it's people who can body her up a little bit too, right? Like Macy Barber, notoriously strong. Tatiana Suarez, that's an anomaly, similar to the Erin Blanchfield fight. But Viviana Arroyo, Andrea Lee, right? These are just women who are extraordinarily strong. Whereas when she fought people like Nadi Kassim or Mara Borello or Romero Barella or Ariane Lipsky, who's not particularly a strong fighter, like all of them, she could handle it. She could take down. So like when she's sort of met with physicality, she has a tough time with it.
And for those who think, yeah, you always got to take the women's underdog. No, that's not a thing. Maybe it was at some time, but 67% favorites are coming through this year. 67% of men's favorites and 67% of women's favorites. So we're not just taking the dog for the heck of it, but I think we pretty much made that clear anyhow with our breakdown there. All right. Are we sticking with flyweights? We are, but we're going to the men's side. Nate Maness versus Matias Mendonca, or Mendoza, as I like to say. We're going to start with Maness. Mayhem Maness, 14-3, 5 knockout, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 3-2 in the UFC. He won his first three and then lost his last two fights. Last one via submission. He's not won since September of 2021. Used to fight up at bantamweight and up at featherweight. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2013 was his pro MMA debut. 4 inches height, 1 inch reach over Mendonca. He's got better striking and grappling stats. However, he has been outstrike over his UFC career by 2.71 strikes a minute. Not a good number there at all. And this isn't a small sample. We're talking 5 fights for him at this point. And he's at plus 220. Not a good number either, unless you want to bet him. Mendonca, nickname is Bocao. Do you remember what that means?
Big mouth?
Yes, mouth or big mouth, yes. He's 10-1, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight, 0-1 in the UFC. 1-0 contender series. He's not won since September 2022. Used to fight up at bantamweight. 8 years younger than Maness. More active landing strikes. He's been outstruck over the two fights in the octagon. One in the UFC, one in the contender series. He's been outstruck by 3.86 strikes a minute, which is even worse than Maness. Smaller sample though. Minus 250. This is one I've switched on just before we went to air. I was going to go with the big dog, and then Maness really hasn't looked good as of late. And Mendonca is way 8 years younger, which is a huge gap, especially at the lightest men's weight class. And like I said, Maness seems to have kind of fallen off a cliff, even though he has fought good people his last two fights, Ulan Bekov and one of the Nurmagomedovs. But still, I think Mendonca, I'm going to go with the younger fighter in this fight. Guy who's looked better more recently than Maness, at least. So give me the minus 250 on Big Mouth.
It's funny that you mentioned that you liked his strength of schedule, because I actually think Mendonca's is better when you look at it.
Tell the people.
He's coming off of fighting. He's coming off of having fought. Is it Javid Bacharat? And for me, you know, like that already is just like a better loss, and he went 15 minutes with him. Right? Like, if you can go 15 minutes with Javid Basharat, like, I feel like that's already more impressive than anything else. And he lost that fight 30-27 across, well, not across the board. I forgot Adelaide Bird gave him a round. So we
I saw her sitting proudly cage side last night.
Yeah, we don't count her giving him a round. But, like, he hung in there for 15 minutes with Javid Basharat. I don't think Nate Maniz brings any of the same kind of skill as Basharat. He hits so hard, and I think the other, like, elephant in the room here is, like, Nate Maniz looked so bad at flyweight. I don't know why he's going back down to flyweight. That being said, like, Mendonca hasn't really fought at flyweight recently either. I mean, he has way back when. Are we sure this fight is happening at flyweight? I know Tapology has, like, he has been a bantamweight most of the time here.
Yeah,
this would be a real weird one, regardless of what weight class it's in. I mean, Maniz looks a little bit better up at bantamweight, so if it's there, I don't feel as good about this line. But man, Mendonca hits hard, and Maniz is there to be hit, and he's looked real bad lately. So to all your same points, I'm taking Mendonca.
Yep, there we go. Okay, so that's the two flyweight fights that we're kicking things off with, or we assume it to be a flyweight fight. That's what it says on. Everywhere I've looked, so we'll see if they come in at 125 or not. But like Gumby said, not going to change our picks regardless. Women's strawweight, Kanako Murata versus the aforementioned Vanessa Demopoulos, who was on Gumby's podcast a few weeks back. So listen to that. It's actually one of the rare suitable for work, suitable for children's ears interviews with her, which doesn't
really
happen.
Yeah. She was pretty mild.
Yes. All right. We're going to kick things off with her. The one and only Lil Monster, Vanessa Demopoulos, 9-5, one knockout, 4 submissions. Never been finished in a fight herself. She does take a beating, but she does not quit. She's 3-2 in the UFC. She's gone 3-1 over her last 4. Did lose her last fight, though. She also missed weight her last fight. So keep an eye on that. I already said that once this episode. The stats on that, fighters that miss weight only win 38% of the time historically. 33% of the time this year. So it's a trending down even worse for people who miss weight. So it kind of defeats the whole purpose of or the myth that cutting weight is going to help you win fights in the end. So, all right. She used to fight up at flyweight, 0-1 on the contender series, was the LFA champion, an inch taller than Murata, more active landing strikes. However, she's been outstruck over her UFC and contender series career by almost 2 strikes a minute. She's at -1.9. And on the betting board, she's at +295. Murata, 12-2, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once, so finished in both of her losses. 1-1 in the UFC, lost her last fight via injury, but it wasn't a fluke injury, right, Gumby? It was an armbar injury.
Was it an armbar injury or a kick? Might have been a kick to the arm or something like that. Might have been an armbar injury. I can't remember now.
Yeah, I thought she dislocated her arm in a submission, but regardless, she hurt her arm. That was back in June of 2021. Before all this, she was 2-0 in Invicta and the champion there. Used to fight at flyweight as well. Is a multiple-time wrestling champion at a national level. 3 inches of reach on Demopoulos. She's 5 years younger. Better striking stats, better grappling stats. However, she has been outstruck over her UFC career by 0.52 strikes a minute. And she's at -310 on the board. We got a lot of big lines this week. We didn't really mention that off the top, but there's quite a few big favorites on this card.
Yeah, and this one's all Murata. I'm a little bit worried about the layoff. You know, like 2.5 or almost 2.5 years away is obviously a cause for concern, especially when you see a -300 favorite. But if she comes back fighting anything like she did against Miranda Marcos or Emily Ducat or, you know, like any of those previous fights from right before she left, she'll be fine against Demopoulos. Because the thing about Demopoulos is, like, she's not going to out-wrestle Murata, and her thing is she's good at jiu-jitsu. So, like, if Murata is liking what's happening with the hands, Murata keeps it standing. If Murata doesn't like what's happening with the hands, she takes her down, and I think her takedowns are obviously good enough to get Demopoulos down. So, like, then you're betting on Demopoulos to like, swing an armbar from the bottom. I just don't see it. As much as I like Demopoulos, and I think she's got, like, you know, kind of a intriguing, promising career arc here. I think the idea of her hitting a submission from the bottom seems unlikely against somebody like Murata. And I'll say, if you do think she's going to get it, just bet that. Just bet her by submission. She ain't winning this fight any other way.
Yeah, Demopoulos, as we said, or as I've said, she's always going to be battling uphill a bit. It's not like she has a huge physical edge on, or athletic edge on most fighters. She does rely on her scrappiness and her grappling, and grappling's going to be difficult in this fight against Murata. So Murata is the clear choice. But as Dan said, the only real thing that gave me pause was the fact that Murata has been off, and not just off, but off and injured. So, and Demopoulos, you know, she is a little monster. She does live up to her nickname. So she really, really gives her all every fight. So that's another thing to be concerned about. But I think if talent will win out in the end, then Murata is going to win this fight. So we're on the same page with all our picks. We're also on our same page with Underdog Fantasy, because Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite football team all season long. Plus, Underdog has just introduced Scorchers. Go 5 for 5 and pick 'em Scorchers and enjoy a spicy 100 times your payout from now until October the 4th, which is today. So hurry up and get it. Get this. Hopefully you can still get this done. You have this podcast in your ear holes in time. That's today, October the 4th. Underdog is matching 100% of first deposits up to $500. So that goes hopefully until midnight tonight. So get in there. 100,000 Sundays also continues regardless whether or not you hear this in time. $100,000 Sundays continues on Underdog Fantasy. 10 lucky players will win $10,000 each Sunday. Do you have an Underdog spicy play, Gumby? Cowboys, fire.
They actually might be underdogs this week, but we're talking about props. Players. Yeah, I'm thinking Michael Gallup's over on receiving yards. He looked like he had a little revitalization here. So we're going to say he's higher than on his receiving yards.
All right, there you go. Higher than on the receiving yards. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $500. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SG.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
P.N. All right, where are we moving to next? Bantamweights on the men's side. Aori Keelang versus Johnny Munoz Jr., who I believe I heard on your podcast this week. Right, Gumby?
You did, yes.
The one and only Kid Kavembo, we heard, and he is 12-3. 2 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out once. He is 2-3 in the UFC. Loss has been his UFC career thus far. He did lose his last fight, so all things being equal, he should win this fight. He used to fight at bantamweight. Sorry, used to fight this one is at bantamweight, so he probably used to fight at featherweight, I guess is what I meant, right? I guess so. He was a regional champion. He's 2 inches taller, 2 inches of reach on Aori. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.41 strikes a minute. He's at minus 105. Aori Keelang, with the troublesome Mongolian murderer nickname, which we've debated in the past what he's trying to say. But anyhow, he's 24-10. 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 1-3 in the UFC. However, he's gone 2-1 over his last 3 fights. He did get knocked out in his last fight. He used to fight at 125 pounds, was a regional champion. That twice more active than Munoz, and he's been outstruck over his UFC career by 1.08 strikes a minute. He's at minus 110, so this one's pretty much you pick him on the board. I don't think my math, he can't be 1-3 in the UFC and also 2-1 over his last three, so I believe I got my math wrong there. Anyhow, Kika Bembo is my pick in this pick'em fight. I don't really know why it's a pick'em. I don't think Aori has shown that he is actually good at this UFC stuff. So Munoz is the pick. Gumby could probably give you a better description why he's probably Gumby's pick too.
Well, he's my pick too, but also just like, I mean, let's look at the basics here. He's 2-3 in the UFC, as you sort of got. In the two guys he beat, not in the UFC anymore. The three guys he lost to, still in the UFC, with the exception of Jeff Molina. I still don't know whether or not he's in the UFC or not. That's a more complicated question, but it's not because of his fighting ability, regardless.
Right.
But the thing that sticks out to me the most, if we're talking about, you know, like the idea of how we're winning this fight, is Aori has had trouble with takedowns. Cody Durden obviously took him down pretty much at will. Cody Durden being a flyweight and going up to bantamweight to take him down, you know, all those times, that's a bad sign. Although I think that fight actually might have been at flyweight. That might have been Aori going down rather than the other way. And then Jay Perrin took him down a bunch of times. And Jay Perrin does have a wrestling background, but like Jay Perrin is not the level of wrestler that Kid Kavembo is, in my opinion. So I think Kid Kavembo here is going to score a ton of takedowns, a ton of control time, and this should be a pretty easy one for him.
All right, all the corrections, 2-3 in the UFC for Aori Keelang, correct. So that's how he's gone 2-1 over his last three. And the Durden fight was flyweight, so there you go.
Nice.
There you go. All right, main event. We did. Yeah, we nailed it. Took a few tries, but we nailed it after all. All right. I was going to say main event time, but no, we got one more fight before that. A women's strawweight fight. Karolina Kowalkiewicz, the return, the resurrection continues against Diana Bellabicha this week, a Canadian, what we're going to call Bicha, the warrior princess. She is 15-7 with 6 knockouts, 4 submissions. She's been submitted herself 4 times. 2-3 in the UFC, win-loss-win is what she's gone over her last three fights. Used fight at 125 and 135. Was a Kem or is a Kempo champion, a kickboxing champion, and a karate champion. 4 inches height, 4 inches of reach, and 11 years younger than Kowalkiewicz. More active landing strikes, and she has outstruck her UFC opponents by 0.87 strikes a minute. She's at plus 138. Kowalkiewicz, 15-7, 1 knockout, 3 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 8-7 in the UFC. However, she's won 3 straight fights. Before that, she lost 5 straight. So I guess the UFC knew what they were doing, not cutting her. She's not lost since August of 2021. She was a KSW champion in the past life. Also was 1-0 in Invicta. She's fight at flyweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. She's got a positive strike differential of 0.18, and she's at minus 160. Go ahead, Gumby.
This is a wild one to me. I can't believe Kowalkiewicz is not a much larger favorite. I know people like Bellabicha, and her striking has looked all right from time to time. But like, if you look at the fight she's lost, like they didn't age well. She got out grappled by Molly McCann. And granted, that was, you know, 3+ years ago, almost 4 years ago now. But she got out grappled by Molly McCann. She was easily submitted by Leanna Jojoua. She got out grappled by Gloria DePaula and taken down in that fight too. Like, those are not good resume builders, and her wins are over, you know, the Maria Oliveira one aged pretty well, although she got taken down a couple of times in that fight too. And then she beat Hannah Goldie, who's now what, like Owen a lot in her last few. So like, I just don't see Bellabicha as being as good as people are giving her credit for. And I think we're also knocking Kowalkiewicz for being the person who lost 5 in a row. And like, first of all, let's talk about the 5 in a row. Jessica Andrade, Alexa Grasso, Yan Xiao Nan, like, those were legit losses in there. And now she's fighting a slightly lower level of competition. The Felice Herrigs and Vanessa Demopoulos of the world. But I think Bellabicha fits in there. And if Kowalkiewicz goes back to her grappling the way we've seen her do in her recent fights, you know, especially like the Felice Herrig fight where she scored the submission, I think she deals with her really easily there. And I think she hangs enough on the feet. Negative 160 seems like a weird price to me.
Yeah, I will take double K as well. Obviously, the size differential is a concern, and as is the age gap. But fade the Canadian, Gumby. We'll go with Kwok.
You always fade those Canadians.
Yep. So pretty sure Belle Beach is going to win because the Canadians always, my fellow Canadians always tend to screw me over here. But yeah, Kovacevic has looked too good recently to not give her the benefit of the doubt and pick her here. So she's the pick at what Gumby thinks is a very advantageous number. All right, main event time of the prelims. Light heavyweights Felipe Lins versus Jan Kutilaba. Tell you about Lins first. Monstro is the nickname. He's 17-5, 9 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, 3-2 in the UFC. However, he dropped his first 2 and he's won 3 straight since then. He's not lost a fight since June of 2020. He used to fight at heavyweight. That's what he was when he was in PFL, where he went 4-0 and was the champion there. He also went 3-3 in Bellator as a heavyweight. 2005 was his pro MMA debut. Inch of height, 3 inches reach on Kutilaba. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.14 strikes a minute. He's at plus 135. The Hulk, Kutilaba, Monstro versus the Hulk. Very good comic book type matchup here. The Hulk is 17-9-1 with 1 no contest. 13 knockouts, 2 submissions. He has been knocked out 3 times, submitted 4 times. 6-8 in the UFC. 1-3 over his last 4 fights, but he did win his last fight via TKO. Probably saved his UFC career with that one. He's fighting heavyweight as well. 2012 pro MMA debut. A Sambo champion. He's 8 years younger than Lins. Better striking stats, better grappling stats, and more active landing strikes. And he has a positive strike differential of 1.34 strikes per minute, minus 145. Go ahead.
Is it your turn or mine?
It's my turn. Excuse me. Give me the dog. Give me Monstro Lins. He's looked very, very good recently. Kind of what we were hoping, or people were hoping, he would look like heading into the UFC. And then he didn't start things off so well. But yeah, he's looking really good, while Kutilaba is not looking really good as of late. So I think I have more faith in Lins. Age gap obviously is a concern with this one as well. But I'm banking on the new and improved, or the new look, or the new old look of Felipe Lins. So give me him at the dog money.
Yeah, he looks great at light heavyweight. I wanted you to go first in this one because I wanted to know if you were also getting in on Felipe Lins. So we're going 6-6 in matching in the prelims. I want Felipe Lins here too. He's 3-0 at light heavyweight. I mean, we could sit here and say he's 3-2 in the UFC, but the bottom line is light heavyweight Felipe Lins, which, by the way, he went away for almost 2 full years to like reinvent his body. He looks ripped. And he's come back and he's beaten not great guys, but good guys, right? Like, how long has Ovince St. Preux been in the UFC? And he knocked him out in 49 seconds. And, you know, he stuffed takedowns from Maxim Grishin and got his own. He's got 100% takedown defense in his career, including stuffing Maxim Grishin a bunch of times. I don't even think he needs to stuff every single shot Kutilaba throws. He just has to stuff enough so that Kutilaba tires out. I mean, like, that's why Kutilaba lost to Kennedy and Zuchuku. That's why Kutilaba got submitted by Ryan Spann. That's why Kutilaba lost to, or wound up a draw with Dustin Jacoby, right? Draw with Dustin Jacoby is because he, like, shoots a bunch of takedowns, and if he doesn't get the finish in there, or he doesn't get enough dominant time and tire you out, he loses. And I just think that's what's going to happen here against Felipe Lins. Felipe Lins at this weight class has got better cardio, and I think he's got all the tools to... I'll even say this. I think he's got all the tools to take him out late.
Ooh, spicy with it. Yeah, so we both agree on that. We agreed on every fight. So that's actually should bode well for us. We're like 61% or something like that when we are on consensus. So let's recap for you here. We both have Lins, Kovacevic, Munoz, Murata, Mendonca. I forgot to put your name down there, but you are in on that as well. And Aldrich. There you go. Get those, steam those lines, make those picks, do all that fun stuff. We're going to be back tomorrow with our main card picks as well as our locks, dogs, props, parlays, all that fun stuff. In the meantime, and in between time, and at all times, we are in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. If we're not there, then John will be at all times. Twitter, you can get a hold of our account there, SGPN MMA, or Gumby Vreeland and Jeff Fox Writer. I'm also that on Instagram. I got a Substack you should subscribe to, at the very least, subscribe to the free subscription and get in the pick'em contest I run every week. That's moneymma.substack.com. Check it out. See if you like what's on there. Gumby has a Top Turtle MMA podcast, which you will enjoy. You definitely want to get that. Tell the people who is in it. Who is your guest this week? Who are your guests this week? As my grammar is deteriorating.
So we're talking to Johnny Munoz, who we mentioned before us, fighting Ki Lagiuri on this fight card. And then we're also talking to Landry Ward, who is the main event of LFA 169 this Friday. And he is quite a fun prospect. You're going to enjoy watching him at a negative 210 favorite last time I saw, which is a spicy number. So get that number and get that interview in your ears.
And if you want more LFA 169 news, go back an episode, because we just covered that on Monday. So there you go. And obviously all good things in the sports gambling sphere is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com and our Patreon. Don't forget our Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Help us crush corporate gambling. All right. We'll be back very, very shortly with our main card preview. Until then, who will I remain? Let me check the nicknames here. Oh, of course, Kate Kavembo, Jeff Fox, and Riding Shotgun. Tomorrow will be, as per usual, the Warrior Princess, Kumbi Vreeland. Bye-bye.